So picture this. You're sitting at your favorite corner table in a crowded coffee shop.
Right, classic setup.
Exactly. You've got your latte, you are completely in the zone, and you pull up some highly confidential work emails on your phone.
Ooh, risky.
Yeah, you're scrolling through, focused on this critical project, until you get that sudden, creeping feeling on the back of your neck.
Oh, I know that feeling.
You subtly glance over your shoulder, and sure enough, the person sitting at the high top table right behind you is just staring directly at your screen,
Just reading everything.
reading every single word of your private conversation. It is incredibly violating, and honestly, we've all been there.
We really have. It's a universally uncomfortable experience. And in the cybersecurity world, we actually classify that as shoulder surfing.
Shoulder surfing.
Yeah. And while the name sounds, almost harmless compared to massive global cyber attacks, it remains one of the oldest, most common, and really most effective security threats out there.
Because it's so low tech.
Exactly. If you look at the 2025 research from Kaspersky that we're pulling from today, the numbers are genuinely staggering. 68% of smartphone users have experienced shoulder surfing at least once.
Wow, 68%.
And the anxiety around it is so pervasive that 42% of people actively avoid logging into their Gum accounts or entering passwords when they're in public spaces.
Which makes total sense. We spend an enormous amount of time worrying about remote digital threats, right?
Right, like the recent Predatorgate scandal.
Yeah, or the Pegasus spyware tools that can secretly take over your entire device from a continent away. Those are terrifying, certainly.
Oh, absolutely.
But they are digital and they're remote. Shoulder surfing is physical. It's an everyday, localized threat. It requires an actual human being standing right next to you, hunting for instant exploitable info.
And the sources we are looking at today are detailing how the tech industry is responding to both ends of that privacy spectrum. But today, we're really zeroing in on that physical, everyday threat.
Because on February 15th, 2026, Samsung completely flipped the script on how hardware handles our personal data.
They really did.
They launched the Galaxy S26 Ultra, and we have a massive stack of articles, spec sheets, and analyst reports detailing its revolutionary new hardware. Specifically, a display technology they are calling the Flex Magic Pixel.
A total game changer.
So, our mission for this deep dive is to figure out exactly how this phone guarantees privacy right down at the physical hardware level. We want to understand what this shift means for the rest of the smartphone industry, and crucially, whether this tech justifies its incredibly premium price tag.
It's a big question.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to really appreciate what Samsung has engineered here, we have to look at the absolute failure of the privacy screen protector.
Yeah, calling it a failure is putting it mildly. The tech industry has been relying on physical privacy filters since, what, the late 2000s.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
The core concept was pretty rudimentary. You apply a physical layer of plastic or glass containing microscopic vertical blinds over your screen to limit the viewing angles.
Like tiny window blinds.
Exactly like that. But in practice, these accessories demanded massive compromises from the user. First and foremost, they severely degraded the quality of the display itself.
Right.
The physical filters absorbed up to 40% of the screen's light.
Which means you are constantly fighting your phone. You have to manually crank your brightness all the way up just to read a simple text message indoors,
Yep.
which absolutely decimates your battery life over the course of a day.
Precisely. And beyond the power drain, they ruined the image fidelity. Colors that were once vibrant became completely washed out, and text often looks slightly blurry or pixelated.
It just defeats the purpose of buying a nice phone.
Completely. On top of that, they added physical bulk to incredibly thin devices, and they weren't cheap either. A high-quality privacy protector could set a user back up to $50. Furthermore, the installation process was notoriously frustrating.
Let me guess, the air bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have definitely thrown away a brand new screen protector after trapping a massive piece of dust right in the middle of the glass on my very first try.
You are far from alone in that. The sources note that 35% of consumers who purchased these privacy screens ended up abandoning them entirely because the overall user experience was so poor.
I'm surprised it's not higher.
And it wasn't just the hardware accessories that failed to solve the problem. The software attempts over the years were equally problematic.
Right, the apps.
Yeah, developers created apps that tried to artificially darken the screen or overlay confusing visual patterns to make text hard to read from a distance.
Sounds terrible.
They were. They required constant toggling, they ruined the usability of the device, and they offered virtually zero protection against someone standing directly behind you.
And that landscape of failed, clunky solutions is exactly what makes Samsung's approach so compelling. They realized that privacy shouldn't be an afterthought. It shouldn't be an accessory you stick on with adhesive. The display itself needs to take ownership of who is allowed to look at it. Here's where it gets really interesting. Samsung is calling this the biggest innovation in AMOLED displays since they introduced the Infinity display.
That's a bold claim.
It is. But how does a screen restrict viewing angles without those physical plastic blinds blocking the light?
It comes down to a marvel of microscopic engineering. To eliminate the need for physical filters, Samsung placed something called a microlens array layer.
The MLA.
Often referred to as an MLA, directly beneath the screen's pixels. Think of this array as millions of microscopic magnifying glasses.
Okay.
The entire layer is incredibly thin, measuring only 0.3 millimeters thick. But what makes these lenses revolutionary is their speed and articulation.
You move.
They do. They can physically switch the direction of the light they are emitting in less than 16 milliseconds.
Wow.
To put that in perspective, that is faster than a single frame on a standard 60 hertz display. To the human eye, the shift is completely instantaneous.
The screen is actually aiming the light.
Exactly. And to achieve this, the display utilizes two entirely different types of pixels working in tandem. First, you have the wide-beam pixels.
Okay.
These function exactly like a standard ultra-premium smartphone screen. They distribute light at a wide 178-degree angle. This is for normal, everyday use, and it consumes standard levels of battery power.
Makes sense.
But intertwined with those are the narrow beam pixels. These are the foundation of the privacy tech. When the phone activates these pixels, the MLA layer concentrates their light into a remarkably tight 30-degree cone.
Just 30 degrees.
Right. Now, firing these specialized pixels does consume about 15% more energy, but the result is absolute hardware-enforced privacy.
It effectively builds an invisible tunnel of light that only reaches the person holding the device. And the sources highlight a detail about this that I find absolutely wild.
Oh, the rotation thing?
Yes. The beam is focused so tightly that if you have the phone in maximum privacy mode and you just rotate your wrists to turn the phone 45 degrees away from your face, even you won't be able to read your own screen. The display just looks completely black.
What's fascinating here is how the device orchestrates all of this hardware, because requiring the user to manually flip a switch every time they open an email would be tedious.
Totally.
Samsung solved this by integrating Gemini Nano, which is Google's highly efficient on-device AI model, to manage the micro lens array dynamically. The system operates across three distinct modes.
Walk us through them.
Sure. The first mode is normal mode. It relies entirely on the wide-beam pixels, delivering the full 178-degree viewing angle and allowing the screen to hit a massive peak brightness of 2,500 nits.
So this is the mode you use when you want to gather around a table and show video to your friends. A completely uncompromised flagship display experience.
Precisely. But mode two is where the phone basically gains situational awareness. They call it adaptive privacy mode.
Okay, how does that work?
This is where the integration of AI and hardware truly shines. When adaptive privacy is engaged, the phone utilizes its 12-megapixel selfie camera to continuously analyze your physical environment.
It's watching the room.
It is actively counting the number of human faces nearby and calculating their proximity to the device. Simultaneously, the Gemini Nano AI is scanning the content currently displayed on your screen.
Looking for what?
It's looking for sensitive markers, things like password fields, credit card numbers, personal IDs, or private message threads. If the AI detects sensitive content on the screen and the camera detects a person within a compromising distance, the phone dynamically shifts the viewing angle.
Automatically.
It can fluidly adjust the cone of light anywhere between a moderate 60 degrees and the full 178 degrees, depending on the fret level.
Hold on. Let's pause right there, because as a user, this raises a massive red flag.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
Right. To protect my privacy from the guy sitting behind me at the cafe, I have to give my phone permission to let its camera constantly watch my face, scan the room, and simultaneously read my private emails to decide if they are sensitive.
It sounds bad when you put it like that.
That sounds like trading a physical privacy threat for an absolute digital privacy nightmare.
That is an incredibly valid concern, and it is exactly why the architecture of the processing is so critical here. None of this environmental or screen analysis is ever sent to the cloud.
None of it.
Zero. All of it is processed entirely on device by the Gemini Nano model. Furthermore, the S26 Ultra ships with the third generation of Samsung's Knox Vault.
The security chip.
Right. This is a completely separate, physically isolated hardware chip on the motherboard. It acts as a secure enclave. So the data from the selfie camera and the screen scanning is processed in a closed loop, separated from the main operating system.
Got it.
It cannot be accessed by third-party apps, and it cannot be transmitted over the internet.
Okay, so the phone is making these decisions internally without phoning home to a server. Let's go back to that coffee shop scenario to see how this actually feels in practice.
Sure.
You are sitting at your small table reviewing those confidential work emails. The selfie camera detects three people walking within a 2-meter radius of you. Instantly, the on-device AI recognizes the emails as sensitive, and it narrows your viewing angle down to 60 degrees.
Right, securing the data.
The people walking by just see a dark rectangle.
Yeah.
But then you switch over to your photo gallery to show your friend sitting across from you a picture of your dog.
The AI instantly recognizes it is just a photo, registers your friend across the table, and immediately opens the angle back up to 178 degrees so they can see it clearly. No buttons pressed.
It is entirely seamless.
And then for the most compromised environments, there is mode 3. Maximum privacy.
This is for the crowded New York subway at 8 a.m.
Exactly.
You're standing shoulder to shoulder with strangers, and you realize you desperately need to check your bank account balance or type in a secure PIN.
So with the S26 Ultra, you just press a dedicated textured side button. Instantly, the viewing angle locks to that ultra-tight 30-degree cone.
So the person physically pressing against your shoulder on the train cannot see a single pixel of your financial data.
And as soon as you exit the banking application, the phone can automatically release the log and return to normal mode. It is a level of contextual awareness we simply haven't seen implemented at the hardware level before.
But all of this environmental scanning, AI processing, and physical lens shifting has to take a massive toll on the phone's computing power.
You would think so.
If the device is constantly running these background processes, doesn't it just lag or drain the battery by noon? What kind of processor does it take to actually run this without the phone melting in your hands?
That is precisely why we need to look under the hood, because the S26 Ultra is far from just a vessel for a fancy display. The processing power is formidable.
What are they running?
In the U.S. market, the phone is powered by the new Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5, which is built on a 3-nanometer architecture. Internationally, users receive the Exynos 2600.
Before we move past that, what does the 3-nanometer architecture actually mean for the person holding the phone?
Think of a processor like a complex city grid. The smaller the nanometer number, the closer together the buildings or transistors are placed.
Okay.
When the pathways are that small, electrical signals don't have to travel as far. This means the chip can process information significantly faster while requiring far less electrical power.
So efficiency is the key here.
It is the key to running complex AI tasks without instantly draining the battery.
And how does that stack up against the competition? Because Apple's silicon has dominated the benchmark charts for years.
Our sources include the direct benchmark data comparing the new Snapdragon against Apple's latest A19 Pro chip. Now, Apple still retains the crown when it comes to pure CPU power.
Right.
Their Geekbench single-core numbers remain slightly higher. However, the Snapdragon is incredibly competitive in the GPU department for gaming. And more importantly for this discussion, it packs a massive Hexagon AI engine pushing 45 TOPS.
TOPS being trillions of operations per second.
Correct. Think of TOPS as a measurement of the AI's pure horsepower. The Snapdragon's 45 TOPS comfortably beats the 38 TOPS found in Apple's A19 Pro.
That's a noticeable gap.
That massive AI headroom is exactly what allows the S26 Ultra to constantly analyze the selfie camera feed and scan the screen for sensitive data without causing your scrolling or animations to stutter.
But all that power generates heat. If I'm pushing 45 trillion operations a second, plus maybe playing a heavy mobile game, how does the phone not overheat?
Samsung completely redesigned the thermal management system to compensate. The device features the largest vapor chamber in Galaxy history.
How big are we talking?
It measures 3,500 square millimeters, which is a full 40% larger than the cooling system in the previous S25 Ultra.
And a vapor chamber essentially works by evaporating liquid inside a flat copper pipe to pull heat away from the processor, right? Like the phone is sweating internally to cool itself down.
That is an excellent analogy. They combined that massive copper chamber with a high conductivity graphene sheet.
Does it work?
The benchmark tests from the sources verify the results. even after running a highly demanding game like Genshin Impact on maximum graphical settings for 30 straight minutes, the external temperature of the phone stays under a very comfortable 42 degrees Celsius.
Which is incredibly impressive for mobile hardware. And while we're talking about the rest of the flagship specs, we have to touch on the cameras because they aren't ignoring their photography roots.
Not at all.
The main sensor on the back of this phone is a 200 megapixel beast, but the specification that really stands out is the aperture. It's an f1.4 aperture.
That's huge.
For anyone who doesn't obsess over camera lenses, think of the aperture like the pupil of your eye. The lower the F number, the wider the pupil opens. An f1.4 is the widest aperture ever engineered into a mainstream smartphone.
It lets in an unbelievable amount of physical light.
Which means it's going to be an absolute monster for taking clear, bright photos in the dark. Add in the ultra-wide lens, a 5x optical periscope zoom, and a 3x optical telephoto, and it is a top-tier camera array.
And all of that hardware, the cameras, the processor, the display, is tied together by Samsung's software implementation of Gemini 3.1 Pro. This drives a suite of impressive AI features.
Like the Audio Eraser.
Yes. One standout tool mentioned in the sources is the Audio Eraser. Using the on-device AI, it can process your recorded videos and isolate specific sound frequencies to remove up to 95% of wind noise, traffic sounds, or even loud ambient music playing in the background of a cafe.
And the detail I love most about the Audio Eraser is how Samsung deployed it. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Google Pixel, their incredible audio erasing tools are locked exclusively inside the native Google Photos app.
Very restricted.
But Samsung took a different route. They opened their Audio Eraser API up to third-party applications. That means you can use this noise-canceling feature natively while recording a video directly inside Instagram, TikTok, or Snapchat.
It removes an entire step for content creators.
Exactly. They also upgraded the popular Circle to Search feature to Generation 2. Now, you can circle an image or text, and it will instantly translate over 100 languages, solve complex handwritten math equations, and even pull up price comparisons for products across different retailers.
It is undeniably a phenomenal feature set. But to truly understand its place in the market, we have to look at the direct head-to-head comparison with its biggest rival, the iPhone 17 Pro Max.
Let's run the numbers. The S26 Ultra is launching at $12,299. That places it exactly $100 higher than the baseline iPhone 17 Pro Max.
A premium price.
But for that premium, the physical engineering is surprising. Despite having that highly complex microlens array built into the display, the Samsung is actually 19 grams lighter than the iPhone, weighing in at 214 grams compared to Apple's 233 grams.
That's significant.
It's also 0.6 millimeters thinner. It charges twice as fast, supporting 60-watt wired charging versus Apple's somewhat stagnant 30-watt limit. And as always, it retains the built-in S Pen stylus housed inside the frame.
However, we must remain objective about the drawbacks. This is first-generation Flex Magic Pixel technology, and it is not completely without compromise.
Right, there's always a catch. What are the downsides of forcing a screen to manipulate light this way?
There are three main issues noted in the reviews. First, when you engage that maximum privacy mode, because the microscopic lenses are aggressively concentrating the light into that tight 30-degree cone, the overall screen brightness takes a noticeable hit.
How much of a hit?
It drops by about 10%, stepping down from the peak 2,500 nits to roughly 2,250 nits. Now, if you are sitting indoors or on a train, you likely won't even perceive the drop.
But outside.
Right. If you are trying to use maximum privacy mode outside under harsh, direct sunlight, the screen may appear slightly dim.
Makes sense.
Secondly, keeping the screen locked in that mode forces those narrow beam pixels to work overtime, which drains the battery about 15% faster than normal use.
So relying on the AI adaptive mode is really the only way to ensure you get through a full day without hunting for a charger.
Correct. And finally, there is a distinct software limitation at launch. Currently, the privacy display technology only functions when you hold the phone vertically in portrait mode.
Oh, interesting.
If you rotate the phone sideways into landscape mode, say, to watch a video or type with two hands, the privacy filters disengage.
Are they fixing that?
Samsung has officially promised to resolve this and add full landscape support, but the required One UI 8.1 software update won't be released until the summer of 2026.
Good to know.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the sources draw a brilliant analytical parallel here. They compare Samsung's strategy with the S26 Ultra to what business analysts call the NVIDIA gaming paradox.
This was my favorite insight from the entire stack of research. Break down how a phone display relates to NVIDIA graphics cards.
Well, look at the history of NVIDIA. For decades, their entire corporate identity, their immense brand loyalty, and their core revenue were built entirely around the PC gaming market. They made graphics cards for gamers.
Right.
But a few years ago, NVIDIA made a wildly bold strategic decision to effectively abandon that core identity and pivot their massive resources into dominating the AI hardware and data center space.
Which was a huge pivot.
It was a monumental risk to turn away from the very consumers who built their empire, but it paid off astronomically, turning them into one of the most valuable companies on Earth. The sources suggest Samsung is taking a remarkably similar leap of faith here.
Because Samsung's entire reputation in the smartphone space is built on having the brightest, most vibrant, most beautiful displays in the world.
Exactly.
To intentionally design a flagship screen that gets darker or deliberately restricts viewing angles is completely antithetical to their usual marketing playbook. They are risking their biggest selling point to prioritize hardware-level privacy.
Precisely. They are investing massive R&D resources into the Flex Magic Pixel, potentially at the expense of chasing other flashy, superficial features.
It's a huge bet.
They are placing a massive bet that modern consumers are finally fed up enough with the feeling of constant surveillance, both digital and physical, to actually pay a premium for guaranteed privacy.
And are they right?
Well, if the industry analysts cited in our sources are accurate, it is a winning bet. Their projections show that Apple is fully expected to copy this technology, likely introducing their own variation of a hardware privacy display by 2027 with the iPhone 18 Pro.
Well, next year.
Furthermore, they predict that by 2028, 40% of all flagship smartphones across the market will feature hardware-level privacy as a standard. Behind the scenes, Google, BOE, and Xiaomi are already scrambling in their research labs to catch up.
Everyone is chasing them.
Xiaomi is reportedly already testing something they call switchable privacy glass for their upcoming folding devices.
Which brings us to the final verdict on the S26 Ultra. Aggregating the reviews from our sources gives this device a highly impressive score of 9.2 out of 10.
That's a solid score.
The consensus is remarkably clear. If you are someone who deeply values your privacy, whether you are handling corporate secrets, you are a legal professional, a journalist protecting sources, or you are just an everyday person who absolutely hates the feeling of a stranger looking over your shoulder on the bus and you have the $12,299 budget, this is unequivocally the best smartphone of 2026.
Hard to argue with that.
So, what does this all mean? When we step back from the megapixel counts, the nanometer architectures, and the charging speeds, what is the core takeaway of this deep dive?
The takeaway is that Samsung has effectively drawn a line in the sand regarding consumer tech. When you combine the physical light manipulation of the Flex Magic Pixel display with the fact that the phone ships with the physically isolated third-generation Knox fault, the S26 Ultra is making a profound statement.
It's taking a stand.
It declares that privacy should be viewed as a fundamental human right, not merely an optional software feature buried in a settings menu that you have to manually opt into. In a world that is increasingly saturated with invasive spyware, data brokers, and constant surveillance, true technological innovation isn't just about making processors render graphics faster. Real innovation is about engineering tools that actively protect and serve the fundamental needs of the user holding the device.
Well said.
This raises an important question, though, about the trajectory of this technology and where it goes next.
It really does. Because Samsung is clearly not stopping
Not
here.
even close.
Tucked away at the very end of our sources, there is a brief but fascinating note about what their engineers are currently developing for the second generation of this microlens array technology. They're working on a concept called multi-user privacy.
This part is wild.
The idea is that because the display can control the exact direction of every single pixel's light, it will soon be able to shoot entirely different beams of light in different directions simultaneously.
It's at the same time.
It could project a confidential spreadsheet directly to your eyes, while simultaneously projecting a completely different image, say a movie or a blank screen, to the person sitting across from you.
From the same screen.
I want you to really ponder the implications of that for a moment.
Yeah.
What happens to our shared sense of reality, our common visual experience, when you and the person sitting right next to you can look at the exact same physical screen, but perceive two entirely different worlds?
It changes everything.
It is a mind-bending concept and definitely something for you to think about until our next deep dive.